Okay, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. See, today's Friday, May the 17th. We're at the home of Mr. Ellsworth Marshall Jr. Talk a little bit about Bottom. Are you a native of Frankfort? Mm-hmm. Were you born here? Whereabouts?
I was born on Miro Street, right across from where Mill Underwood, used to be.
That's
been a long time ago, though.
Oh, really? When were you born?
1926.
26. So you pretty much grew up down Merrill Street and Bottom?
Oh, yeah. Went to Mayo Underwood.
Oh. People seem to have fond memories of Mayo Underwood.
Yeah.
You remember any of the teachers that stick in your mind?
Oh, yeah. Laura Chase, Alice Samuels, Ma'am Lindsay, Ms. Tucker, Conda, Professor Brown, Blanton, and big fella. Oh, I know him well too. He taught history.
I can't. Professor Johnson.
Okay.
Johnson, yeah.
People, when they talk to me about Mayo Underwood, it wasn't just a school, but it was like a social center where you could come. They'd have plays there, I guess a place where young people could go.
Yeah, on the weekends, except during athletic season, basketball game. Mm-hmm. Then there may be a social after the game.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, as far as the name Craw or Bottom, did residents really refer to that area as Craw or Bottom?
Well, what comes to my mind, most of them refer to it as the Bottom.
The Bottom. Okay.
Maybe the older ones, before me, called it Craw, but whenever, asked where do you live, I live in the Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody knew where the Bottom was, or Craw.
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked some people, I used the term Craw, and they corrected me very quickly that they consider that a derogatory term.
Yeah, that I guess it was. But I always referred to it as the Bottom. I never used the word Craw.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm finding out that the less I use that word, the better. Your parents and your family, did y'all always live on Merrill Street?
Well, they came here. See, my family, I think they were originally from up around Tyrone, in Anderson County. But they, migrated from, I have part Spanish, American, Mexican. Mm-hmm. All of my mother's people were, and they originated. And they migrated to Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
And they settled up around Anderson County, Tyrone.
Do you know about when they came to Kentucky?
No, I don't. It must have been in the early 1900s because I don't know where, I forget where my mother was born. It could have been up around Anderson County.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I was born, they were here. That was back in 26.
One of the things you could help me with, when you talk about Bottom, what area is considered Bottom? What are the boundaries?
Well, what I considered as the Bottom was Washington Street to Hill Street, and that would be running from south north.
Mm-hmm.
And from east to west, it would be from Wilkerson Street, that's west, running to up to St. Clair on the east.
All right.
So that would be the boundary.
All right.
Of the Bottom, because when you left, when you got on to St. Clair Street, then you got into the white residence.
Okay.
Going east. But now, on Wilkerson Street, when you left Wilkerson Street, you were going to the river.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right at the river. Mm-hmm. And Washington Street was, I guess, on the south. That was the boundary, because then that was Broadway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, one of the things I'd like to know is, was Bottom, as far as the residents, white and black, or all black, or?
Oh, mostly black. Mostly black. There was a few white. But I guess, they probably couldn't do any better than we could, so.
Yeah.
There weren't many, but there were a few.
You make it sound like the folk down there maybe were poor.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of them were poor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the average living, you know. Nothing that you could really brag about, because back there then, we didn't make any money.
What did your dad do?
My dad was a dining car waiter for the Illinois Railroad. And he worked for the railroad company until he died.
That would have been considered a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah, that was. He was always out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a decent job, yeah, back there.
Well, did most of the folks down there, did they tend to work maybe at the furniture factory or at the hemp mill, or did the blacks tend to work in any one particular job?
I remember that furniture factory. That was down on Wilkerson Street. But, you know, at that time, I was just too young to really know.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the hemp mill, that was down on Wilkerson Street. I really don't know whether many of them worked down there. Mm-hmm. I imagine some did. But whether there was a lot now, I don't really know.
But most of the folk did work, or did they receive assistance, or?
Well, now, you know, I don't know if they had assistance back there then.
Yeah, probably not until the 50s or
40s. Yeah, see, back there then. But now, if you didn't have it, I don't guess that, you know, maybe the Salvation Army would give you mm-hmm. some assistance.
Did your mama have to work?
No, my mother never did work. Never did.
Was that sort of the standard rule of thumb, or was she an exception?
No, I don't know if that's a standard rule, but my mother never did work. Never did. Because, like you said, my father, he was a dining car waiter, and he made pretty good salary plus tips.
Okay.
And with 8 children,
mm-hmm.
I think it was, 7 boys and 1 girl.
Well, some people have referred to the area as a slum. Do you think that's accurate, inaccurate?
Well, probably some parts of it, you know, maybe it would be considered a slum. In those alleys.
What alleys would
that would be? What were those alleys?
Let's see here.
I'm thinking of the alley between Clinton, going west, and Wilkerson Street. That was a small alley that ran from
Kane's Alley?
Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay.
And it ran up to the ran to Broadway right there,
mm-hmm.
where the train, you know, goes across, you know, that rise.
On now, one side of Broadway is Long Lane, and I think on the other side was Gaines Alley.
Now, you may have considered that
mm-hmm.
slum, because the houses were in bad shape, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In that alley. But, you know, maybe some of the other people across Broadway thought all of it was slum down, you know, down there. But there were some nice houses, though.
That's what I've heard, that there may have been substandard houses, but there was a lot of good.
Yeah, there was a lot of good houses, yeah, oh yeah.
Do you remember much about the house you grew up in? Did it have indoor plumbing or furnace or electric?
Electric, but no. The first house that I can remember, that was in 37. It was right across from where the state office building is now,
mm-hmm.
which is, that's where the Commonwealth Credit Union is. But now, those houses from, you know where the Commonwealth Credit
yep.
Union is?
Sure, on High Street.
That whole block.
Okay.
Those houses there were belonged to J.M. Perkins.
Oh, okay.
All those houses there, and you know, mostly, well, it was all Negroes up there. Now, that didn't have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And the toilet was, well, it wasn't outside, but it was on the side of the house.
It was frost-free outdoor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't what you'd call an outdoor house.
Mm-hmm. Not
but then, no, there was no electricity, no.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't get electricity until we moved. That would have been after the flood, and then we moved closer on in to
mm-hmm.
what you refer to as the bottom.
When got out of school, where did you go work-wise, and did you continue to live down in Bottom?
Or? Oh yeah, we lived on Washington Street, and we lived on I lived on Clinton Street for a time, and we lived down on Blanton Street.
Mm-hmm. So you lived virtually every section.
Yeah, right? Uh-huh.
What happened to you after school? Did you find work or?
Oh, I didn't do much work. Maybe it's in the summertime, did, you know, some odd jobs, but after school, no. I didn't work after school.
I mean, after you got out of high school?
After I got out of high school? Yeah, I went to work. I worked for William H. May. That was back in the early 40s when they were making crates for the government.
Okay.
And I worked with my uncle at Muse's restaurant at night. You know, we cleaned that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the summer, I would help him at the Catholic school. And then you coming on up to the 40s, and I came back out of service, then I went to work for the state.
Ah, okay. What branch of the service were you in?
I was in the Army.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have been in the unit that Isaac Fields was in, were you?
No. Isaac was ahead of me, and he probably went in before I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
What outfit were you with?
Well, I was with the 369th Quartermaster overseas. But we did a lot of infantry training,
mm-hmm.
you know, before we went overseas, but that was during the late part of the war, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was only in the service just a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, 6 months, and 26 days.
You got it pegged down to the last.
Yeah, I remember that. And then that's when I, you know, started working when I came out of service.
With the state? Which agency, I'm curious.
Well, when I first went to the state, I worked for George Glenn Hatcher, Secretary of State. That's back in 1947.
You're dating yourself.
January 1, 1947. And I left the state October 31st, 1988.
Good grief. 36 years of service to the state.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you about as far as bottom, the flooding. You mentioned that yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Did you all get flooded out of your home?
Oh, yeah. We were flooded out several times. Just a hard rain sometimes. If it rained hard enough, it would back up the water there at the intersection of Clinton and Washington.
Mm-hmm. Well, did the city or anybody provide assistance to relocate people or move them out?
Oh, yeah. They helped to move you out. So did the National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was in several floods. But the worst one was back in 37. And then, you know, on up there. There were some pretty bad floods after that, too.
55 and 57, I think
right.
There was some.
And the day I brought my wife from the hospital, I think I was in 62. My father was moving us out of my house then, right at the corner of Madison and Clinton.
Well, did the people tend to come back after the floods, or they just
relocated? Always did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always came back. Until the last flood that I was down at, and then that was right at the beginning of the renewal.
Yes.
And that's when we left downtown and came out here.
Well, let me ask you about the renewal. How did you find out about it? Do you remember who told you?
No.
Do you remember how you felt about it when you found out?
Well, I really didn't care too much for the move. I still don't care too much for it, even now. Because seems like, to me, we were closer together down there than what we are out here.
Closer in the sense of a community
or
neighbors?
Yeah, neighbors. You knew everybody, everybody's kids. Out here, I don't know anybody. Yeah.
That's, Miss Gill said the same thing, that people that you'd see every day when you live down the bottom, they scattered everywhere.
That's right.
You might see them once a year now.
Right, yeah, and I don't know half of the people's children that I knew as we were growing up down there. And so, no, I still say I've missed the bottom. I do.
When the news came out about the relocation and the Urban Renewal Project, there were some public hearings that people went to voice their opinions and ask questions. Did you go to?
No. At that time, I didn't own any property. I think my father, he owned his house down on Blanton Street. But as me, I didn't go because I wasn't a property owner.
Right. Well, I know that some of the people were angry and felt like they hadn't been told very much about it. How did your dad react to it?
Well, he didn't really like it either, but, you know, he never had any choice. I guess they told us what maybe they wanted us to hear. Now, I don't know if, you know, things were as good as they said, you know, it was going to be, because they were supposed to put us in, you know, areas.
What, that was my question. What did they tell y'all? Do you remember?
No, no. Like I said, I'm just going by some of the things that, you know, that he had said. And at that particular time, you know, I wasn't paying that much attention to all of this because I didn't own any property. But he did, and, well.
Some people apparently were so upset that they brought in two Lexington attorneys, a guy by the name of Carroll and Nippenberg, and tried to stop the project. I don't know who hired the attorneys.
I don't know anything about that, so no point in me commenting on that.
Okay, let me.
Had I been a property owner, probably, you know, at that particular time, you know, when did the urban renewal begin?
Well, they didn't start relocating people or buying up property till 1959.
Yeah, 59.
But they formed the Frankfort Slum Clearance Agency in 1955. It was in existence long before they started buying up the property.
Well, we didn't leave from downtown until 63, 64, something like that, when we came out here, so.
But you were renting all that time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, did you have to move around in the bottom as they tore down houses? I mean, did you have to?
No, once I moved, I just came on out here because I was having this built at the time, you know.
Oh, okay.
So when this was completed, that's when I moved.
Ah. You're sort of lucky in that regard, because like Miss Gill was telling me, she would rent and then the person who owned the place would sell and they'd tear it down. She'd have to move. Every time she moved, she lost something,
yeah.
She said, lost possessions. Did families that lived in the bottom, did they tend to remain there for long periods of time? Some people have told me that there was a lot of turnover, or there was vagrants would come in and live for a while and leave, and then others have said, no, that's not the way it is, and people live there for generations, family.
Oh, yeah. Everybody that I grew up with, you know, went to school with, now some didn't move after the war, went to, you know, Dayton, I mean, for better jobs, better opportunities. But the majority of the people stayed right in the area. It's some families that left here, but not that many.
I made a sort of a list of businesses and companies that were down there that, like Tiger Inn. Do you have many remembrances of Tiger Inn?
Yeah, because, you know, after the games, we would go to Tiger's Inn. Ewan Atkins owned Tiger's Inn.
I've never seen any pictures of it. Can you sort of describe where it was located and what it looked like?
It was a small restaurant. And it was located on the corner of Washington and Miro.
Okay. A lot of people talk that school children would go there.
Yeah, because it was only just a half a block from the school. See, now going west, just a half a block down, there's Mayor Underwood. And across the street there, I mean Wilkeson, then there's the river. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was mostly where all the school kids hung out was Tiger's Inn. And you wouldn't call that a honky tonk because you couldn't do anything but play the Victrola and eat. That's all. Because Atkins didn't have anything else except that.
Okay. Were there other black-owned and operated businesses down there?
Yeah, well, there's another restaurant right across from the school, operated by a fellow named Shine Boy.
Shine Boy. What was the name of his place?
Shine Boy. Right directly across the street from Mayor Underwood.
That was a restaurant too, you
yeah.
said?
And
so
that
was.
Cornbread. Yeah. Directly across the street from Mayor Underwood, and that was on the corner of that alley, Gaines Alley, I guess you'd call it, and Miro.
What happened to Shine Boy's business after Urban Renewal came in?
Oh, yeah, Shine Boy, he left.
He had gone.
He left, you know, after they, you know, I guess started buying up the property because he never owned the building.
Ah, okay.
He just rented, but. Now, I don't know about Tiger Inn now, whether Ewan Atkins owned that or not. Ewan may have owned that building.
Well, he hung on until 68. He was still in business as late as 68.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he tried to relocate.
Yeah, I think at one time he came up further in the bottom on Washington Street.
Yeah, he was in there in 63 to 68 when he went out of business. Mm-hmm. And I found a letter that he wrote to the Frankfort slum clearance people, and he said, I don't know if it's because I'm black or because I'm poor or for whatever reason, but I can't get a license to sell malt liquor, and I can't find a place to relocate to, so I'm going out of business. And he auctioned everything that that he owned. Were there other black businesses? I know Dr. Holmes was down there.
He was right across the street from Tiger's Inn.
Do you have many remembrances of Dr. Holmes? Or?
He was my doctor until... until, you know, he just gave up practice. He was my doctor from the time he came here until he couldn't quit practicing. Yeah.
Somebody said there was a black dentist down
there. It was, Dr. Well, what was his name? Washington? Was it Washington? Dr. Washington? Now, years ago, I had an uncle, Dr. Weathers, that was a dentist. But he didn't live too long after he came out of service. And then there was another way back, now, you know, I'm going back further than Dr. Biggerstaff. He was a dentist. Now, we're talking way back, probably.
1920s?
Yeah, maybe. In the 20s, early 30s.
Who's that doctor on Washington Street down there? A long time ago.
Dr. Baer? Yeah, when we ever got that cow fly out of the ear. Dr. Baer, he was a surgeon. He was a good doctor, but, you know, booze. Got to him.
Well, see, that's one of the things. There were black teachers living down there, black doctors, black professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miss Case, Miss Chase, Miss Marietta, they were good teachers.
See, that's one of the things that they tend to paint everybody as being poor, but there were black middle-class folk living
well,
down.
Well, I'd say a big part of the teachers at Mill Underwood lived in and around the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Live there right in the community.
Yeah, Alice Samuels lived right in the heart of the, she was the principal at 2nd Street until she died.
Do you remember Jack Robb?
Oh yeah, I've been up there.
I love Jack.
And Jack Robb Trio and the funeral home.
Uh-huh. We lived just right down the street from the funeral home, see? See, we lived on Clinton, and Jack lived on the corner of Clinton and St. Clair.
Yeah, because my laundry was across the street from the funeral home, wasn't it, Jack?
Right where Cable 10 is now.
Yeah.
That's my laundry.
Well, as far as some of the night spots.
They weren't any night spots. They were just restaurants.
They were just restaurants.
I guess what you all call honky tonks.
Where you have beer and play the jukebox.
Like Blue Moon or Tiptoe or Peachtree.
Well, you see, they were all white.
Ah. Would blacks avoid those places?
Yeah, they went, but you see the blacks are right across the street from them.
Yeah, right across the street and down from them.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Mike Deacons.
My stepdaddy, he owned a couple, I guess.
Mike Deacons was a
place? Yeah, Mike Deacons.
Yeah, he was white, but
okay.
He made all his money off the blacks. And then after Mike died, George Taylor.
Yeah, George Taylor.
Yeah, I've heard Knott's Pool Room down there.
That's right in the... Right on Washington Street.
Will Wren, he had a restaurant?
That's across the street. Well, that was in that block from Broadway to Clinton Street.
Clinton Street.
Yeah,
on Washington.
He had a couple. And my stepdaddy had a couple. We had one too.
What was the name of your old
school? Cozy Corner.
Cozy Corner. Where was that now?
Right on the corner of Clinton and Washington.
Would that have been across from the American Legion?
Diagonally across.
Okay.
And it used to be called Red Brick before we got
that. That was when the whites had it.
Red Brick. Okay.
Yeah. I bought it. I forget who I bought that thing from.
You and him and his brother.
But you all ran the restaurant.
Yeah, we ran about all day.
Do y'all know Wesley Marshall?
Wesley Marshall.
Is he kin to you all? Joe Marshall. Big Joe.
Oh, you know Big Joe.
Oh, no.
Marshall.
His sister lives right up here. Near East Main on Langford, right behind the barbershop, if you know where that is.
I believe I do. He talked about he was working at a restaurant one time. I thought maybe he was working for you all.
No, he never worked for.
Well, were you in business, running your business when Urban Renewal came in?
No, I'd gotten rid of it before that, way before that, because I didn't own the building anyway.
When Urban Renewal came in, I was working for Ward Oaks, Ms. Oaks.
Oh, really?
And that's how we got our home.
Ah, well, he ran a gas station then and there, and he had a coal business.
Coal.
Yeah. Coal business.
Yeah. Yeah, that was out there on Home Street, though.
We saw him Saturday, didn't we?
Yeah.
When you all think about the people who were leaders in the community, black men and women who people turned to and respected, who do you remember?
Well, the one name that comes to my mind, because I guess he was the biggest property owner down there, was John Buckner.
Tell me about John. I've heard his name a lot, but I don't know anything about him.
Well, John, I don't know, he just went around and bought up all the old houses that weren't any good to begin with when he bought them, but John would put them back himself and rent them. And he got an awful lot of property cheap in that area because, you know, property in the bottom wasn't valued at anything, but he was a carpenter and he did all his work.
Oh,
he had some other people with him, and he owned quite a few houses downtown. I rented from him until we came out here. Yeah.
Did he tend to keep them up better than, say, Doolin Moss?
Or? Oh, yeah, yeah. Doolin wouldn't do anything but collect rent.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Buckner, I mean, if something went wrong, you notified him. He would. Now, we used to live over a laundromat that John Buckner, he didn't own the laundromat, but it was rented. And the laundromat caught on fire, and it burned, you know, the laundromat up, plus we were upstairs, and it burned us out, too. And he put that house back together over a period of, you know, I guess a couple of months or something like that, but he would keep his property up now.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember Will Castleman?
Yeah, I remember Will, yeah. He worked for Mike Deakins, run the pool room.
He was a nice one.
Yeah, I remember old Will.
He apparently was something of a political force.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, they would all come to Will. You know, I guess they tried to get him to get the black vote, you know, during voting time, you know. They'd all come down. That's the only time they come down.
Is to doing court the vote.
Right, that's all. And that, in that era, you know, they'd bring their booze and something like that and promise you this, that, and the other to get that black vote. And after the voting was over, you never saw him.
I had one person say to me that when the bottom existed and the blacks were there, they were a political force, and you had to go down there and court the people in the bottom if you wanted to get elected.
And that's when they came down there at that particular time.
But then after urban renewal and everybody scattered, they busted up the vote.
That's right. See, they were voting as a block down there, but out here now you got different precincts.
Does the name John Follis mean anything? Do you all?
Yeah, I've heard of the name.
He's white.
Yeah,
was a political strong man killed in the late 20s.
You're right. I've heard the name. You know, I never knew John Follis, but
there was another.
Bixie.
What was that other one that shot through the wall and killed his son? What was his name?
Shot through the wall and killed his son.
Yeah, you remember.
I don't remember.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
I know George Taylor shot and killed his son.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, George Taylor, not a Follis.
George Taylor shot.
I didn't say he was Follis. I said, what was the other man?
He's recording all this.
Oh, okay.
Is George Taylor shot and killed?
Yeah, he didn't
age. No, it was an accident.
Killed his own son accidentally,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, right. I think he was on the porch or something. But now.
Well, let me ask you, there's someone is referred to as Black Cat. Have you ever
heard?
Yeah.
Who? Thomas Graham.
Thomas Graham.
He's got two sons, Jimmy Graham and Paul.
Is James T. Graham kin to
Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, that's his son.
That's his father.
I'm going out to talk to him Tuesday night.
Yeah, that's Black Cat's son. That's his oldest son.
They say he was an influential man.
Well, in the bottom.
Politically.
Right. You know, they come down and they get the older ones together to get the young ones, you know, that were voting age. Oh, yeah.
They go out to bring people to the polls and maybe give them some incentive to come out to the polls, you know.
See, because they
talked about it, but it was quiet and good. Nobody did nothing but just drink. He didn't yell at them.
Well, was it a violent place?
No, it wasn't.
That's.
Oh, there was violence down there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were killings down there. Sure, there were killings.
Well, I've heard that a lot of the violence came into the community when people from outside of Bottom came and partied Saturday night and got a little bit.
Yeah, that, you know, that drinking.
Right, bottom.
Yeah. He wants to know about the bottom. They don't want to know about South Franklin.
Let me ask y'all. Somebody told me Saturday night the thing to do is go out and get your best clothes on and be seen in the bottom. I mean, what would y'all, when you wanted to go out and go to a nice place or go to a place that was special in the bottom, where would you go?
Well, you couldn't go but just a one or two places, the American Legion.
Oh, the 99 Club.
You know, one of those
restaurants. What was the 99 Club?
Just a drinking place, that's all.
The place that they had made up across the street.
Yeah.
And made it nice upstairs.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was just drinking. That's what it was, just drinking. You may be able to get a sandwich or something like that, but...
Dance hall, and might play a tune and dance.
Oh, yeah, you could dance, yeah.
Was 99 Club across the street from American Legion, is that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right here, right here.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you remember the Reverend W.R. Hutchison?
Yeah. I was at work in the state office building the night he got burned up.
Oh, I didn't realize he got killed in a fire.
Oh, yeah. Reverend Hutchison, yeah.
He was one that spoke out against the urban renewal pretty strong. Reverend James Richardson, do you?
Reverend Richardson.
James Richardson, St. John's AME.
No, I'm not familiar with that particular pastor, Richardson. What year was that? Do you have the year?
I know he was alive in 58, because when they had the public hearings and the blacks spoke out against him, he spoke out.
Well, so he may have been the pastor then, but
he may not stay too long either.
I don't know him.
Do you remember Alice Simpson?
Oh, yeah.
She's one that's quoted in the newspapers as opposing the urban renewal.
Yeah, she lived down on the lower end of Clinton Street near Wilkerson Street, and she was a property owner. They owned that house. She and her sister, Patty taught up here at Kentucky State.
Oh, okay.
They were, and she was a teacher too, Alice.
Alice was?
Yeah, she
Over
was a teacher.
Mayo Underwood?
No, well, at one time maybe she was, but no, you know, she was a teacher at one time. But, she may have done some substitute teaching at Mayo Underwood, but she wasn't a regular teacher. But she and her sister both were educated.
Well, let me ask you about the image of the bottom is that, we talked a little bit about violence, but it was a red light district. Is that?
Well, yeah, they had, you know, prostitutes, but not on the big scale.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't on the big scale.
Well, I've heard you could go to South Frankfort and cross in the police station and find, or around that area, and find the same thing.
Well, you may have, but, you know, in that particular year and time, we didn't fool around over on that side of the south side. You know, the police station, you're talking about where the police station is now?
Yeah, I guess.
So that's on the west end of 2nd Street, across from Steele Street, so, no, we didn't have any.
Well, that's what I've been told by people. They said there may have been that stuff going on, but it wasn't on a big scale. It was, you know, it was just...
Oh, it was. No. I mean, like you said, the red light district. I guess, you know, $2 would get you what you wanted. Yeah, $2. And what, you know, I guess maybe $2 back there then was good money.
Did the police provide adequate police protection for the community? Did they even come down?
Oh, yeah, they would patrol down, but they would just... patrol.
Yeah.
And the only time they would stop is if some disturbance was going on. So I don't know if they provided that much protection, but I guess just the sight of the police, you know, it may have stopped some things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to be seen sometimes is enough. That image.
James Papa Jazz says that Craw existed because there was a lot of white people that made money off Craw.
Oh, yeah.
How did they make money off of it?
Well, you know, they had some of the Negroes that would front for them.
Okay, front how?
You know, they would own the business, but we would take care of it.
Ah, okay.
Such as the pool room, Mike Deacons. Cassman run the pool room, and he worked in the whiskey store for Mike Deacons. So that was white owned. And Jeff, he had a restaurant. It was owned by, you know, well, probably George Till at that time. But there were some that made money off of the black community.
Mm-hmm. I imagine a lot of the property owners were white and did not live down in
the
community.
Right, yeah, such as, well, Doolin Moss was the biggest property property owner, but there were other property owners in, you know, in that area. They rented to the blacks and, you know, the lower class whites that wanted to.
I mean, since
you ever had your property, I mean, it, not your property, the building you were living in when you were down there during, say, the late 50s, early 60s, it was never condemned by the urban renewal people, or you never had to move?
No, I didn't have to move. Now, probably if I stayed there long enough, I would have, but when, you know, all this came up, well, we knew we would eventually have to move.
Mm-hmm.
So since my wife was working for Ward Oaks, then, you know, he was developing this out here at that time.
Oh, and he developed.
Oh, yeah, he developed this, and he told us about it, you know, said he would help us to get the loan, which I had just come out of service, so, you know.
Qualified for some veterans benefits.
I think I missed out on Veterans Administration, but he got it through FHA. So he interceded, and he did help me to acquire this. So I guess I got out maybe before, you know, you had to get out.
Yeah, some people wound up that the property owner would sell out and the tenant would wind up renting from the city.
That's right. That's right.
And I didn't know, you didn't fall into that category because you were coming.
Oh, no, because Buckner never sold until, I think Buckner sold all his property as one package.
Oh, really?
See, because that's who I rented from at the time that I was coming out here with John Buckner.
They said some of the older homeowners held out and tried to get a better price.
Yeah, I guess so. My father, he held out too, but now, he may have gotten a better price. I don't know. Really.
Did he take them to court on it, do you know? Some of them actually went to court.
Yeah,
to
some went there. I'd have to ask my mama about that. See, my mama, she lived right around on the other street. And I was out here first, and then after they sold, and then they came out here after I did, maybe a year or two later. But since, you know, I wasn't a property owner, well, I didn't get into that. So, yeah.
As a young person growing up down in Bottom, what were some of the things y'all did for recreation? I mean, when you got together with your friends down there, where would you go? What would you do as a young
person? Well, now, if we were underage, the only place that we could go at night would be Tiger's Inn. But then Atkins, he'd run us out 9:30.
Yeah.
Let's go. You got to go home.
So you really just had maybe a street corner to
hang
out.
That's all. That's right. On the street. You know, played in the street. But no, we didn't have any place to go at night at that particular time.
Mm-hmm. I know Isaac Fields was telling me there were certain areas of Bottom where he would not let Mike and the kids go. He said he didn't want them to go down where the white honky-tonks were.
And see, that. Well, they were right mixed up right in the Bottom.
Oh, so the people were living all around the business.
Yeah, right.
They weren't in a separate area.
No. Blue Moon right across the street from me. And the other restaurants on down further, you know, they were two or three. Estill Smith, he was up much further up on Washington Street.
Do you remember Corinthian Baptist Church?
Yeah.
Were you, did you attend that church?
Yeah, I was Corinthian, yeah.
I have never heard or seen a picture of the interior of it. Can you describe it for me, what it looked like?
Oh, well.
That might be a hard question.
Yeah, because it's been so long, but, you know, it wasn't out of the ordinary. It looked just like any other old church, you know, pews and stained glass windows. Now, it was down the street from Dr. Holmes and Tiger's Inn on Miro Street. About middle ways between Washington and St. Clair.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I might even have a picture of it here. I've got a picture of the whole area. This is a book that was put together by the appraiser who first came down. I think, now there's Mayo Underwood right there. Isn't that it there, that brick building?
That could be Mayo Underwood.
Right there.
Yeah, because, yeah.
Here's a river.
Yeah, the river, and this looks like the playground where we used to play softball. So you're going to come up, so this would be that little alley there, and right down here, this would have to be the Tiger's Inn, right here. And then you'd come down right in here, but I don't see the church.
I think it's right here. I think that's the spire on it. Was it a wood frame building?
Oh, no, it's brick.
Old brick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, brick.
Painted, perhaps, or...
Oh, no. That, this could be it, because it's about... So this would be... See, Mill 1 would sit right on the alley, and then come on up one block, and then Tiger's Inn right here, and this would be Washington Street, going on to Hill Street, and so cross over. This is where Dr. Holmes would be. And so it would be right in here.
Yeah, I think that is it.
Right in here.
Right there. That's the only picture I've seen. I'm having a real hard time finding anybody who has pictures of the buildings or the families or anything.
No, I don't have it. I don't have a picture of it. But this would have to be it right in here, because it was between Washington and St. Clair.
Yeah. There's the, on the... Now here's Clinton, I get. No, wait, that's Broadway. This must be Clinton here.
Yeah, of course, Clinton would be one block down from Broadway.
I think that's the American Legion building there.
And then Miro Street would be here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This looked like, because that was the biggest building down there at that particular time.
Catty-cornered across from Mayo Underwood. Was that the Frankfurt Electric and Water Plant Board's maintenance shop? What's this cleared area? Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, this is where the electric light company had, you know, some equipment and things. Yeah, right.
Okay.
This would be a halfway between Clinton and Miro Street. It'd be on the left going down towards the hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back towards the hill. Yeah, so they had equipment there. Yeah.
Oh. Well, you've given me a lot of your time. What I'm hoping to do, I've got a list of about 30 names, mostly black folk and some white folk, and I'm going to talk to all of them and put together as good a research paper as I can on urban. I didn't ask you too much on urban renewal because you sort of told me that you were renting in and you weren't really...
No, I wasn't really interested in other than, you know, have to move. Now, had I been a property owner, I may have taken more interest.
Mm-hmm.
But at that particular time, I was in my early years, and it just didn't bother me that much now. But now, I know my father, you know, they didn't like... Well, I hated to move myself, but they didn't have any choice.
Well, if you could bring the bottom back, would you do it?
Oh, I would go back. I've told my wife a lot of times, I don't like out here. I'd much rather be downtown, but I don't want to go over on the south side now where...
Yeah.
That, to me over there, that's worse.
Murray and 3rd, they said it's getting really bad. I drove by there the other night, and there was 20, looked like at least 20 young black guys, and I don't...
Yeah.
It looked like trouble was getting ready.
Yeah, and every time there's a vacancy, a house, looked like they turned that house into the slum.
Yeah.
Just tear it up. And it never happened like that down the bottom of an empty house like that. It would stay empty and intact until it was rented.
Well, that's... Miss Gill said the same thing to me. She said, even the streets and things, we kept them pretty clean.
Oh, yeah. Over there, it looked like a dump.
Yeah.
Like trash.
That maybe some of the houses weren't as modern as, you know, they should have been, but at least people made an effort.
Yeah.
It wasn't
all that dirt. Waste all out in the street like it is.
Isaac Field said he didn't even have a locking door on his house, that there wasn't widespread crime.
It wasn't a widespread crime. You know, the only trouble that would come up down that bottom would be coming from alcohol, drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But as far as crime, no. No. A lot of times I wouldn't lock my door. Just leave it open. Yeah. Unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Never did. I've gone away from home, me and my wife, a lot of times. Just pull the door too.
Left it shut.
But not now.
No, not now. Mr. Marshall, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it. When I get my paper written, I'll send you a copy.
Okay.
And see what you think
about
it.
You know, you may be able to get more of what you want by talking to the older people that are still living.
Who would you recommend that I would be a good person to talk
to? Yeah, that's what I've been... I really don't, you know, the people that are older than me, you know, their mind just may not be all there.
They're incapacitated.
Yeah, uh-huh. See, because I'm right at 65 now myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to, you know, get somebody 75, 80 years old, well, they could recollect some things. But I'm trying to think who is out this way that lived in the bottom. And I just...
I've got a list of some of the people. Let me see if I can stuck in my pocket here.
Yeah, see if you got any older people on there now. See, you start talking to people like me, or younger, well, you know.
Well, like I told you, I'm going to talk to James T. Graham.
Yeah, that's
on
Jimmy.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I guess these are relative Paul.
Oh, that's
Graham
his brother.
And Annie Graham.
Oh, now, unless that's his mother. Now, she may be able to give you more. That's Black Cat's wife.
Oh, Ann Graham?
Ann Graham, now. If that's the same Ann Graham, now.
Okay.
Where does she live?
Wait a second. High Street, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's him. That's him. See, Jimmy lives right up here behind, you know where Pickpack is?
Yeah.
That street, Myrtle?
Yeah.
And then it's the first street to the left. Okay. Now, Paul, he still lives with his mother.
Oh, okay.
So now, she lived down behind Dr. Holmes on Washington Street, so she could probably give you a lot of information. And she only left there, you know, when they had to.
Henry Mack?
Henry Mack. Well, I don't know what Henry Mack is. Now, he's older, too, now.
Ella Sanders?
Ella Sanders. Oh, I know Ella. That's Henry's sister-in-law. Henry Sanders. Henry could probably give you some information.
Henry Sanders.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's she married Robert. Henry's a twin brother. But see, Henry lives right over here, across from me. But now, Henry's older than I am. Not a great deal, but he is older. Mm-hmm. And he lives down there. Oh.
Do you know a Sam Barker?
Sam Parker.
Parker.
He lives in there. Sam is older than I am. He lives up here on Douglas.
Okay.
You know, that's just straight across when you go to East Main. And he lives down just before you get into the apartment areas on Douglas. You know where the...
Yeah. Sutherland Terrace is back in there and...
Sutherland Terrace?
Sutherland.
What are you talking about?
I thought there is a apartment complex called Sutherland Terrace that's back in there.
I don't think that's it. These are just those apartments that the city owns.
Oh, okay.
And this is right at the end of Douglas.
Okay.
I'm trying to give you some idea where Sam lives. Just that, you know, you go on up Douglas, and Sam lives near the end of Douglas on the right. And then once you leave that area, you know, there's just this round complex. That's
the
at low rent.
Owned?
Yeah,
okay.
That's at low rent. But Sam lives up on... You know what Douglas is?
Yeah, I know.
Well, you wouldn't have any trouble finding it.
Annie McLean, I've called her.
Well, she, you know, she could probably use me, but she's, arthritic now.
Arthritic,
and so she doesn't get out of the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's another good one.
Naomi Carr.
Naomi Carr.
Bertie Samuels.
Oh, now, yeah, and they've seen that Bertie was Alice's sister. They're right in the area until they had to leave.
Oh, Alice Simpson's sister?
No, Alice Samuels.
Samuels, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bertie. And see, she lived right in the heart of what you would call the bottom.
Oh, okay.
On Washington Street.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Margaret and Henry Ellis.
They live out this way. Yeah, their family lived on Wilkerson Street, near the school. Yeah, they were down there.
Elizabeth Oglesby, I tried to call
her. She's around here, right next to Eugene Robinson.
Did she have a business down there?
I had a beautician shop.
Beautician shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody told me she had a business.
Yeah. That was right across. That was right across the street from where I lived. That was on Clinton Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They had a nice business. Big house, brick house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Annabelle Williams is one they've told me to talk to.
Annabelle, well, she lives out off of 127 there. You see, her husband's family, they were right down in that area on the lower end of Washington Street.
Okay. Then some of the others.
Yeah, these are all good people, you
Maddie
know.
Maddie Jones.
Maddie Jones.
Or Laddie. I don't know if it's Maddie or Laddie.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
She lives on Douglas now.
It's not Kay Lee Jones, is it?
Now that might be. I might have misheard and written it down wrong.
Katie Lee.
Katie Lee. Okay.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
Okay.
She lives right across from Sam.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't have any trouble finding that. Yeah, that's a good one. Who is this?
That's you.
Oh.
And there's George and Leona Childs. I've yet to reach them.
George and Leona Childs. Now that is... Oh, I know. Georgia. They live on the south side on 4th Street. George Childs. And, but we always call her Sis.
Sis, okay.
Yeah. Sis. Yeah, that's... and that Sis has been around y'all a lot. But at one time, you know, they all moved away from here. They were away from here for a long time. Went to Cleveland. And they just come back. Oh, they've been back several years. Yeah. But, you know, after
they
retired. Yeah, oh, yeah. They. I don't even know if they were around yet doing the urban renewal. But she could still give you some, because they live right in that area, too. Well, she and her mother live right next to the Frankfurt and Electric storage area, right next to it.
Okay. Catherine Fletcher.
Catherine, no, that's Cag's wife. I don't know where she lives, but she used to live on Mary Street, right across from the Corinthian Church, but I don't know where Catherine lives now.
She apparently has a sister, Helen Taylor.
Yeah, Helen, yeah. I don't know where she lives either, but they are within my age group.
Oh, okay. You think they might be a little younger than...
I don't know if they're any younger, but they're right in my age group because we all came up together.
Yeah. Maggie Knott?
Maggie. Well, now Maggie's older, and she lives out here on Green Hill Avenue.
Okay.
See, that's Bob Knott's wife, when you're talking about the run
Knott's
the rest.
Pool Room?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So she could give you a lot because they live down on Washington Street, too.
Yeah. What about Maddie Brown?
Maddie Brown, she lives right down the street here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that's her sister.
Oh, okay.
And they all lived down on Washington Street at that particular time before they left and just scattered.
Between Broadway and Clinton, or Clinton and Miro, sort of?
It's Clinton and Miro, okay. where they live, on the right.
Mary Chestnut, or no, Chenault. Mary Chenault, I'm sorry.
Mary Chenault. 115 Douglas. Mary Chenault. I'm not...
Not familiar with her.
Mary Chenault. No, I'm not now. I know Walter Chenault, but he's dead. But I can't remember Mary Chenault. No, but, you know, I don't know everybody, though.
Charles Fields. I've already talked to Isaac.
Yeah, that's Isaac's brother. Yeah, he lives on the south side, too. Mm-hmm. See, they are older, so, you know, you could get some. You got Henry right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and Henry lives right over there, right next to me. Yeah, so Henry's a good one to talk to.
Walker and...
Howard, right down the street here.
Yeah, okay.
See, but now Dahl, he left here right after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And Dahl just came back way after the urban renewal. But Dahl was gone for years and years.
You make it sound like a lot of the black vets who came out of the war went north to find...
They did. To find, you know, better jobs. Better paying jobs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some did, and well, a lot of us didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Dahl did, and Dahl, he hadn't been back yet too long, but he did, Dahl went up to New York.
There's Ms. Helen Berry on Home Street.
Helen Berry.
May Helen.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, May Helen, yeah. Uh-huh.
And Dr. Cheney, I've got to talk to Dr.
Oh,
Cheney.
Oh, yeah, now you talk to Dr. Cheney. I'm sure Dr. Cheney can... you see, now, Dr. Cheney, I don't know if he ever lived downtown, but...
He lived on Clinton.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, yeah. Dr. Cheney.
He lived on Miro.
Yeah, so, yeah, you talk to Dr. Cheney now.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that he could give you just about as much information as anybody.
He's sure. And
yeah.
George Simmons, I want
George Simmons lives right down in that area from where Cheney is, up here in College Park.
So I talked to him on the phone. He sounds like a fascinating...
Oh, yeah. Now, George, you know, he was, you know, some of the people that the white people would come to, you know, for things. Yeah, George, yeah, you can get a lot of information out of George.
And I met Mary Emma Ellis.
Who is that, sis?
Mary Ellis.
That's
Buddy's
mama.
Oh.
Mary Emma.
Mary Emma? Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's a very nice lady.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
And James
Ellis. Yeah, and that Buddy was another one that, you know,
is that
had a little influence.
Okay.
Buddy Ellis. Yeah. He lives right down in the area of the church on Murray Street, if you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second and Murray, isn't it?
Right.
At the corner.
Yeah, right.
That's, I got.
Yeah, so you got some good people to talk to now. James Calhoun, he lives right down on the lower end of Murray, near the river.
They say he's in a trailer.
In that trailer, the owner's trailer, so you're right across from the American Legion, so you wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, a lot of people told me I got to talk to James.
Yeah, and you can't go in there further unless you're going down into the river.
Okay.
So it's on the right now, going down on Murray Street, so he's a good one to talk to.
Yeah, if I can get all these people over the next couple of months, I'll be doing...
You should have more than enough information, but... I'm sure like Henry Sanders and Cheney and Buddy Ellis, those are the kind of people that, you know, can really, yeah.
Information.
Right.
Thanks a bunch. I really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, it was interesting too.
Hope whatever I turn out.